My name's Jim Smith.
My name's George Pitt.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com.
For more information on Jim and George, go to facebook.com/JimandGeorge.show.
WCR FM.
Welcome back to the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. My name's Jim Smith.
And my name's George Pitt.
The Technicolor Radio Clubhouse nearly didn't come to you this evening.
Really?
Because, as you well know, George, I've been a little unwell.
Well, yeah, you got a dose of food poisoning.
Can I just recommend anyone, because, you know, Technicolor Radio Clubhouse, we do like to... what's the matter with me today? Since we're talking quicker than my mouth's going quicker than my mind.
Well, you're getting over your fever, aren't you?
I went to a game fair. I don't know, anybody goes to sort of game fairs, outdoor country shows, field sport events. I attend quite a few of those for the year, and we have tremendous fun. However, on the last day, if somebody says, selling beef burgers for half price, you might want to leave those alone. future reference, if beef burgers half price at the game fair and you walk past, because you know you walk past the half price burger man and you've already been in and out of far too many beer tents than he's civilised, and you think, oh, half price cheeseburger, them boys could be tasty and cheap. I found myself CLA Game Fair in Leicestershire in the middle of a campsite, which apparently is the biggest campsite in the country.
Yeah.
Where Game Fair's on. Apparently that area becomes the biggest campsite in the country. You hear me, pikies? We're coming for you. So that is the biggest campsite in the country. And I found myself stood in the middle of this campsite. You know when you're throwing up and it's pathetic. You know when you're just completely beaten as an individual when you're being sick. Because it's the worst thing in the world, being sick.
Oh, it's disgusting, yeah.
Eating cheap burgers, got myself a dose of food poisoning the night before last, and I'm throwing up in this field. And you know when you just compromise your every belief, and I'm praying to the God I truly believe doesn't exist, and I'm just saying, just take me. I understand now I've got to go, but this is enough punishment. Just take me now. I'll just go. I will go quietly. Just take me. Stop. You know when you're doing that retching and again and again, and it just, there's no more to come. It's just not fair. Please, God. Absolute God. I had a horrible night's sleep the night before last.
Well, do you know what the worst one is? Have you ever had that? You know when you lie down and the room starts spinning?
Oh,
man, that's painful. So you have to get up out of bed to stand up because the room is literally spinning. You go to the toilet and you got your head in the toilet bowl or in the sink and you're just waiting for it to stop. I'm all right now. I think I can go back and lie down. You lie down, it happens again. Oh, God. Horrible, nasty feeling.
I was lying in the caravan. Like you can't be sick in the caravan, can you? It's too close an environment. It's just not right for the other people who are spending their time with you. And I'm in the caravan and I'm lying there and I'm lying just as still as I possibly can.
Yeah.
If I just lie still, because I really don't want to have to be sick. Please don't make me have to be sick. I really don't want to have to be sick. If I just lie still for hours,
God.
And hours, with chills and sweats and everything, got a terrible bit of food poisoning. But I can laugh about it now.
You can once it's over. But I had a similar thing. The last 2 days I spent in Egypt, me and the missus, we must have got a dose of food poisoning. But it wasn't sickness. It was diarrhoea. It was the other type. And like lying in bed, like shivering. I mean, it's like red hot out there. Like every night you've been sleeping on top of the sheets, lying in there, shivering, getting up, going to the toilet, coming back, lying down, getting back up, going to the toilet. And you're thinking, where's it all coming from? And you're curled up on the toilet, holding onto your knees, going, oh, come on, just please now, just please. And you're just thinking, oh, come on now, come on, enough is enough, enough is enough.
When you get that food poisoning, it's so bad. God. That your body just goes, right, two exits, everybody out.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was for me. It's just, but the thing is, the difference between what happened to you and what happened to me is that you can get all moralistic about it. But I got food poisoning in England.
Yeah.
So there's no one to blame. Whereas you go to Egypt, you get food poisoning, you can blame the dirty foreigners. Dirty foreigners have poisoned me in the dirty ways.
Well, see, it must have been the food at the hotel because we did everything by the book. You know, they tell you not to drink the water.
Oh.
So you're in the shower, you've got a little bottle of water in the shower to drink to brush your teeth or to wash your mouth out. You've got a little bottle of water in the fridge when you get out of bed. And, you know, you don't have ice in your drinks at the bar because that's their water. They don't use mineral water. It's tap water. So don't have any ice in your drinks. And be careful eating salad because they wash it with their water. So if you have
yeah,
any,
they're dirty foreigners' water.
And honestly,
God, I like our water.
We did
dirty water. Oh, dirty foreigners' water.
So we did everything by the book, by the book, and we still got a dose. Still got a dose of the screaming runs. Oh, for God's sake.
There is nothing worse, is there?
It's horrible. Your bum's just repeatedly sick throughout the day. And it gets to the point, honestly, you know where, I mean, I don't want to overset the boundaries here into bad taste.
Let's not get too base.
But you know when you're about to break wind?
And
you're frightened. You think, right then, I'm stood beside the pool here wearing a pair of shorts, and I'm thinking, I don't ever want to break wind on that because I don't want to follow through. So you see, going back to your room to break wind, that bad.
All right, well, the mandate of the show was to do news stories and not to talk about diarrhea.
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse.
I was just next door talking to Stretch, and Stretch does the Now But 90s show here on WCR.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he used to be one of those mobile disco guys. You know, the guys that do the wedding receptions and the function do's and the birthday parties and stuff.
Ah, Stretch.
Yeah, Ah, Stretch.
I didn't know that.
You know, Now But 90s.
I know the show.
And he's got that proper DJ type voice. You know, like that, that was another one, but that was the Macarena. And you know, that kind of DJ kind of voice.
Really slowly, and then he speaks right up again.
Yeah, because there's a booze.
And sometimes right up there, and then he comes back down.
Because there's a boozer down by me.
He
and
stretches Now But 90s, I'm going really, really fast, but now I'm slowing right down.
Hey, kids, did you like that one? Anyway, there's a boozer down by...
It's the oddest meter on radio. Well, I'm Stretch on 101.8 WCRFN, the man with the Guinness Book of Records, world's wildest diction. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, there's a boozer down by me.
Right.
I was walking past the other day and I saw DJ Stretch was playing the weekend. And I thought, I wonder if it's the same.
Stretch.
I thought, I wonder if it's the same Stretch because he has got that kind of, you know, that pub kind of function room kind of DJ sound.
Gotcha.
And I asked him, and he said, nobody was in the game for 30 years. And he said, let me tell you. He said, after.
Stretch.
Yeah, in the game for 30 years.
Stretch.
Stretch. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, let me tell you about those parties and wedding anniversaries and function do's and everything. He said, they're always the same, Stretch.
Stretch.
He said, yeah. He said, they're always the same. Every single time you get a booking, it's always the Macarena. It's always I Will Survive. You know, it's always the same old music, Michael Jackson. And he said, you know, the old girls on the dance floor at the end of the night and the couples at the end doing the slow dancing. And I said, well, funny you should say that because I went to... 50th wedding anniversary on Friday. You know Mitchell.
Oh, right, yeah.
DJ Mitch.
DJ, what's his stage name? I can't remember.
DJ Mitch.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
DJ Mitch with his banging.
That's
your bass line, that's it.
Mitch, a friend of ours, Mitch, is one of these hardcore DJs. I don't know what he is. Junglist selector, if you like. I don't know what he does.
He gets a bit complicated. He says he plays speed garage, baseline, 4x4.
Yeah, but
I don't even know what all that is.
He's a club DJ, let's say that.
Yeah.
He's a club DJ, and we know nothing about that. But when you talk to Mitch about the music, he's like infiltrated the game from within because he doesn't like it either. And he'll play stuff. Like, you've been to him at clubs, haven't you?
Yeah.
And he'll play stuff and go, yeah, listen to this. Wah, 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 wah. What have you got to play to get him off? What have you got to play? way to get people to leave. How bad's it got to get? DJ Mitch infiltrating the game from within. Sorry.
Well, you know what? I think it's a case of the Emperor's New Clothes, because I think everyone within the game is pretty much saying the same thing. What are you playing tonight? Well, I'm playing that womp, womp, womp. Well, which one are you playing? Well, the one that goes womp, 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 womp. They pretty much seem to like it. Well, let's just keep going with the same formula then. So anyway, it was his nan's 50th wedding anniversary, and was there.
Was he DJing for that?
No, he got some other guy in. You know, the typical kind of wedding reception function do type guy.
Stretch.
Nah, not Stretch. So anyway, so he was there Friday night, and yeah, it was the usual, you know, the kids dancing with the mums on a dance floor, and the old girls getting up for the classics, and the Macarena. And I've gone to the bar, and I said to the missus, because the missus is, you know, terrorising me, oh, have a dance.
I'm going to stop you doing this. What's the missus game?
The missus.
Can't we find something to refer to her as? Are we not allowed to say her name?
The blonde warrior.
Okay, go with that.
How about the blonde warrior?
Okay, sure.
So the blonde warrior is trying to get me up on the dance floor.
Not sure if that's any more respectful or not. Yellow-haired warrior. What was that yellow-haired warrior?
What was that now?
Kill Bill.
Oh, Kill Bill, yeah. Yeah, should go with that then. The bride. Because they referred to as the bride as well, didn't they?
I wonder if that's a Freudian slip on your part. You would have known that the yellow-haired warrior was the bride.
Yeah.
You would have known that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that you denied knowing it subconsciously.
Yeah.
You thought of her as the bride.
The bride, yeah. You know, I'll marry her one day, won't I?
All right.
Anyway, so the blonde-haired warrior is trying to get me up on the dance floor. Have a dance, all the rest of it. And I says, no, I says, well, seriously, I don't like dancing. We've been down this whole route before. No, just, I'll be all right. I'll just have a drink over it. Anyway, I'm going to bar. Do you want a drink? Yes, I'll have a drink. Look, get up and have a dance yourself. Oh, no, no, I'm not dancing on myself by my own. I'm too shy. So anyway, I'm at the bar. I come back. The Macarena's playing. She's there, out front on the stage, showing all the other girls how to do the dance. Do you know the Macarena song? I mean, we haven't got it to play, have we? Thank God. But, Macarena. And they do this thing where they move from side to side.
That's pretty much how it goes. Yeah. Actually, you do that bit. I'll do the bass side. Wop, 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 wop.
One, two, three, four, Macarena. And you do the shake and it's a Macarena. Hey, Macarena. All right. That's it, yeah. And she's there showing them all how to do it. And she does, she knows every single move. And there's about a line. He looks at one of them line dancing things that hillbillies do. There's about 20 women all going at it. I was like, what happened to you being shy? Oh, it's my song, though.
All right, so is there a classic wedding reception? Classic Nan's birthday music. Did we have I Will Survive?
Yep, that was played.
Did we have, what's that one called? The Something Slip or something?
Oh, the Cha-Cha Slide.
Yeah, did we have that?
Yeah, that was played.
Well, you have to tell me. You have to help me out. I'm not very good.
I had quite a bit of Michael Jackson as well. There was a bit of a Michael Jackson tribute at the end. And, all right. I mean, I love Billie Jean. But, I mean, all this overly playing Michael Jackson, because he's recently passed away, I wouldn't have had that myself. I think it's a bit corny.
Yeah,
it kind of cleared the dance floor as well.
It's the Technicolor Clubhouse Show. It's the Technicolor Clubhouse Show with Jim and George on your radio.
So I'm more of a wax man myself.
Oh, yeah.
What do you use?
Nothing.
Come on, you use something. Everyone uses something.
No, a bit of conditioner, that's it.
A bit of conditioner.
I'm one of the rare people who don't ever wash my hair.
No.
Honest to God.
You'd have dreadlocks if you didn't wash your hair.
No, you brush your hair, man.
I don't wash my hair.
I don't mean I live in filth. If you leave your hair long enough, it'll wash itself.
It will sweat and get greaser.
You know, it gets rinsed, doesn't it? I take a shower. I didn't wash my hair, it means I don't use chemicals on my hair. It doesn't mean that I'm stig of the sodding dump.
A conditioner's some sort of chemical, isn't it?
No, it's a conditioner, you idiot.
What do you mean? Well, what conditioner is it? Some sort of body shop tea tree or natural herb or something?
Well, I can't say because obviously my hair is so nice.
Yeah.
That if I was to mention what product I use, that would send people out to the shops immediately and would cause a stampede during which some people might get hurt.
Come on.
In their efforts to emulate my look.
What are you using?
The same one Christ used.
What did Christ use?
Camel poo.
You can't be rubbing camel poo in your head.
It's true.
Have you ever tried one of those old wives' tale type things like Guinness and raw egg yolk and things like that? Because I've been told it does work.
Yeah, every day I do that. Guinness and raw egg. You think Guinness is a cure for everything.
It is.
Brain cancer and anything.
Well, I don't know about brain cancer.
Guinness!
But you know, it does sort
got
you out, though, Guinness.
Terrible cold. Guinness!
Sort it out with Guinness.
You think, got a stain in the car. Guinness! Pour some Guinness on it. You think everything can be cured with Guinness? You think it's like a wonder drug? No matter what it is, rub some... It's terrible rash on my leg. Guinness! George, I've been run over and my foot is now pointing the opposite way. You know what you want to do? Get yourself a Guinness and wrap it in... Get some Guinness on a sponge. Wrap your ankle in Guinness's sponge and you'll be right as rain within a... Do you know what, George? I have terrible trouble sleeping. You know what you want? Guinness. You think Guinness is like the miracle cure for everything?
I tell you who's the worst for thinking he's some sort of medical expert, and that's my granddad, old Basher.
That's my doctor. Yeah. Oh, he's such Basher. A know-all. Every time I go and see him, him and his newfangled pharmaceutical drugs that seem to work.
Funny you should mention my doctor, because I've possibly got the worst doctor in the world. Okay. I mean, he's absolutely terrible. Anything you go in there with, he never really, he's not quite sure what it is, and he doesn't really want to prescribe you anything. But I tell you what, he's the governor at. He's the governor of giving
there.
You... Hey.
You go in there, I've got the Guinness, just tell me what to do with it.
Where have I got to put it? And I tell you what, my doctor's the governor at, going in there and asking for a sick note. I'd go in there and I'd say, oh, you know, I've had a week off work. And he'd be like, oh, George, well, what's wrong? And, oh, I don't know, my stomach's been hurting a bit, but I'm concerned about this week off work and I think I might need another one. That's all right, yeah. Signs me off, two
really?
Weeks, £10, there you go. And then they can't... See, these companies... I used to work for a retail company. They can't argue a doctor's note because it's a medical certificate that you should be off work.
Yeah,
so if I'd had a week off work...
That's
and,
terrible.
Well, you know, you're entitled to it, aren't you? You know what I used to do?
No, you're not entitled to it.
No, you're entitled to
no,
your sick
no,
pay.
Not, no, no. Yes, you're not entitled
I'm
to
I'm not encouraging people to...
well, you are.
Well, I am, yeah.
In a way that, you know, the world is based around reality. In that kind of actual, factual way. And what you're actually doing is encouraging people to go to your doctor because he will give them bogus sick notes. In that way, in that sort of actual, truthful, that's exactly what's happening,
I tell you what.
That's what you're doing.
I tell you what, a lot of my colleagues were jealous because their doctors wouldn't give them notes like that. So anyway... I remember what happened was, I'd been out over the weekend and I'd had quite a lot to drink. Anyway, come Monday morning, I was severely hungover and had the day off work. So I came into work on the Tuesday and they marked me down as an absent. And an absent goes on your file. And if you get three or four absences, they call you in for, a disciplinary. A disciplinary are talking about your absences. And I had a friend who was in a managerial role who told me, do you know, he says, if you have one day, it's classed as one absence. If you have one week, it's classed as one absence. If you go over 1 week, you need a doctor's note and they can't touch you with a doctor's note. So then I was thinking, well, rather than just having one day and have it marked as an absence, why not just have 2 weeks and get a doctor's note and then they can't touch me? And so what I used to do is I used to plan out my holiday throughout the year. When I was ill, I went to work. When there's nothing wrong with me, I'd have time off, 2 weeks paid. You know, tenner for the doctor. Everyone's happy.
Yes. Well, I had some time off today, and I spent that time downloading interesting and funny, wacky news stories from across the across the internet. And Jesus Christ on a cracker! Will you read one out?
Shall I read this one out?
Yeah, that'll do.
All right. This is I got this.
40 minutes into this news review show, we haven't touched the news stories.
Well, it is news, though, isn't it? We've spoken about.
What?
We've spoken about.
Sick?
It. We've spoken about. It has been quite heavily based on illness tonight, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
the whole diarrhea thing, the whole vomiting thing. You know,
the Jim and George Technicolor Radio Clubhouse nausea special. How's this going down?
I'll tell you, I hope there isn't somebody listening at home who's thinking, oh, I'm going to get a week off work. It's all right because George said on such and such WCRFM, I heard him say that it was
all
right.
It's George saying, you know, but I don't think you can have time off work saying, this guy on this radio station said it would be fine. I don't think that's quite doing it. Even you, George, with your shaky grasp on reality, must realise that you being a voice on the radio is not enough authority for all of Wolverhampton to take the week off. Surely you realise that. Surely you know you're not that heavy a hitter. Do the freaking news story, man.
All right, and here we go. Here we go.
I print stuff out that you can't get into trouble with.
I tell you what, I took so much time off from work from this retail company that whenever I handed him a notice,
but it was Woolworths. You sent them skins. Come on, come out of the closet. Woolworths was bang in trouble because of you. You, George Pitt, the man who sent Woolworths to the wall. Let's just be honest about it, George. No. Come on, it's always been your big claim to fame.
No, so this firm that I work for...
Wouldn't have been so bad if you hadn't have been a line manager.
No, so this firm I work for, whenever somebody handed in the notice or was leaving for whatever reasons, retiring or whatever, they'd always have a leaving interview. I don't know, I can't remember what they called them.
A leaving interview? You know, it's all right if
like,
you go.
As you leave, they'd pull you in the office, human resources, and they'd have a talk about your time at the company, what you did like, what you didn't like, rules and regulations, blah, blah, blah. And every single person had one. When I handed in my notice, no, never had one. All right, and see you, George.
Just go.
Yeah, you see, they weren't like that. Oh, you sure you want to leave, George? And you don't want to ever think about it? No. Oh, that's all right. And, yeah, we're happy to accept your resignation, Mr. Pitt. Oh, don't I get that interview on me last day? But, no, it's all right. Don't you worry about that. They couldn't wait to get me out the door.
Help yourself to a bag of pick and mix on the way out the door. Help yourself to a bag of pick and mix. Leave the Just Brazils alone, but you can have a fishing rod.
Pick and mix? I mean, how could you run a firm off pick and mix?
That's all they had,
That was all they had, really, wasn't it? Smiths have got that now, pick and mix.
Got it, yeah. They all run for that, didn't they? Whoa, let's get this going for decades. The pick and mix.
Charging you £20.
Oh, Jesus, George, do a story, man.
Oh, should I do one now, then? All right, and I got this from the Metro UK online. Tattooed gangster.
No, we're going to have to pass. We've talked to him.
Should we play a track?
Shooting out of money and a first aid too. 10 in the morning and 2 for you. Jill and George, I call it, you know. The technical ready show. The technical ready show. The technical ready show.
I spent most of yesterday in bed.
Oh, God.
I think there's something quite nice, but you know when you're ill and you're off work and there is really nothing to do. Nobody expects you to do anything. You expect nothing else of yourself but to lie in bed and watch films.
Yeah.
And I just did that all day.
I love that.
It's great. Just not to move all day, and just watch films. And I happened to notice on your Skybox, on the Anytime, was the latest in the Star Wars series. You can't call it a trilogy anymore. The latest in the Star Wars series of films. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm a big Star Wars fan, but
which
I haven't
one?
Seen the Clone Wars.
That's the second one, that is. Episode 2, isn't it?
No. The digitally done one. You know, the one that was done...
Oh, the animation thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any good?
No, a hateful, toxic piece of dog cat.
Well, I was quite disappointed.
I sincerely hope that George Lucas dies drowning in the offal of his own children for releasing that horrendous piece of... For diluting a much-loved brand for the sake of money. And, George, did you need more money? Was the brand not well-supported enough? You had to make it a stupid kids' film. What a hateful, horrid, turgid, boring, patronising, rubbish piece of nonsense. God, I'm struggling not to swear. I'm trying so hard not to swear.
Well, you know when something's always going to be a load of rubbish? When they make sequels to films and the star of the original film won't sign up for the sequel? For instance, say, Speed had Keanu Reeves. When Speed 2 came out, Keanu Reeves didn't want to do it because he read the script and said it was rubbish, so Sandra Bullock done it on her own.
Smokey and the Bandit 4.
So they did a fourth one?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds weren't in it.
And didn't they do Smokey? I thought Burt Reynolds in the third one.
Burt Reynolds was in the third one, wasn't in the fourth one.
Who was in the fourth one?
Just the guy who drove the truck, and I can't remember his name.
Oh, Snowman. The Snowman. Yeah.
Even Burt Reynolds went, whoop, enough's enough. And they must have been saying to him in the studio, Burt, you do the same part in every film you do. Come on.
Yes, so
even Burton. Hold on. Come on.
Hang about.
Enough's enough with this one idea. this is one idea that, car chases normally last, 10 minutes out of a film will be a car chase. We've made whole films. We've made a whole trilogy of films there based on the idea of a car chase. I don't think we can do a fourth and maintain any credibility. Even Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds, for the love of God, said, I think enough's enough.
And come on, Burt Reynolds was a genius at what he did there.
Oh, yeah, but he just did this one thing.
It's
just
true.
Did this one thing throughout.
But I suppose you could say that Roger Moore's guilty of the same thing, or Sean Connery. They're all pretty much...
Sean's done some pretty avant-garde stuff.
I don't know. Every character he's ever played, he plays a Scottishman. I mean, even when he played... Do you remember that Hunt for the Red October when he played he played the Russian general? A Russian general with a Scottish accent. And anyway, which leads me back to Star Wars.
How does that lead you back to Star Wars? Where's the connection?
The whole nasty Russian general
You could have gone by Hugh McGregor. He's Scottish, and that leads you back to Star Wars.
Well, that wasn't me train of thought, but okay. I couldn't get it out right, Anyway, so like Hugh McGregor didn't do the voice of his character in the Star Wars animation of Obi-Wan. And who else? Samuel L. Jackson never signed up to do his voice either. I think Christopher Lee did for his role as Count Dooku.
But the curtains are closed on Christopher Lee. He'll do anything.
That's a bad sign already, that you can't get your original talent. You can't get your original cast members to do the voices for their parts. So you can always tell it's going to be a stinker then.
George, I am begging you on my bended knees, please, please do a news story.
How long we got?
Ages.
Before the news.
4 minutes.
This is a classic right then. I got this from the...
What's a classic?
This story.
Oh, okay.
I got this from the Metro Online. Now, this is possibly the best headline I've ever seen. Tattooed gangster forced to look like Tom Selleck.
It's a hell of a headline.
How can anyone be forced like Tom Selleck? Is that such a bad thing? I happen to think Tom Selleck's a very attractive man. Richard Rodriguez has been instructed to grow a Magnum PI style moustache, just like the main man Tom Selleck. An alleged gang member has been urged by his lawyer to grow a Magnum PI style moustache to hide the name of a gang tattooed on his lip. What kind of idiot gets a tattoo on his lip?
A committed idiot.
I wonder if he had the Warriors on his lip, or the Hi-Hats. That'd be quite embarrassing, wouldn't it? Nick Pachenko, who is representing Richard Rodriguez, has told his client to get a makeover ahead of a court date. Rodriguez hit headlines when he was allegedly kicked in the head by an El Monte police officer at the end of a televised car chase.
Cool.
Pachenko has filed a $5 million legal claim against the city on behalf of the 24-year-old for the alleged assault.
That's what I would have done.
$5 million for a kick in the head.
$5 million for making me look like Tom Selleck. God damn it, I'm not wearing them shirts.
No. The moustache.
For the love of God, if you think I'm wearing those little tight tennis shorts in public... I don't care if I get to drive a Ferrari. Damn it, I've got my dignity.
I happen to think you look quite cool, old Tom. With the Hawaii-style shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of chest hair on show. I quite like that look, either. I'm not into the waxing or the shaving.
Don't you think, though, when you look at Tom Selleck, don't you think that he might have been the devil?
The devil?
Yeah.
No, I can't really see the connection.
Well, he was just so lucky, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A friend with a helicopter. It's not enough that you've got a Ferrari. You've got a friend with a helicopter.
Yeah. Well, he's a playboy, wasn't he?
That you've got a Ferrari and you're a playboy and you've got a friend with a helicopter.
Yeah.
And you live in this beautiful mansion that you didn't have to buy.
Oh, that was it, because he was looking after it for a friend, wasn't it?
And you're gorgeous, and you've got a really nice moustache.
Yeah.
And you've got a small part on Friends.
Yeah, yeah. Monica's boyfriend for a while, wasn't it?
So there's a lot of good fortune there to be putting down to coincidence.
A lot of good fortune.
I see a little fire behind the eyes.
You never know. Anyway, so Pachenko has filed a $5 million legal claim against the city on behalf of the 24-year-old for an alleged assault. He claims that his client now suffers from headaches and blurred vision, among other symptoms. Pachenko feared jurors would judge Rodriguez on his gang tattoo inked on his lip.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
You would.
If he's got a tattoo that says, oh, I'm a gangster.
On his lip.
I'm a raving villain. Hello, pleased to meet you. I'm a raving villain. I have that tattooed on my face just in case. You didn't notice from the fact that I appear to be a raving villain. Just in case you didn't notice the other evidence around you that I'm a raving villain. I've had tattooed on my face the words raving villain so that you know that I'm a raving villain. But I'm going to get all offended and annoyed if you judge me on that.
It gets worse. He will also grow hair to cover the tattoos on his shaved head, and he'll wear a smart suit. People get past looks when you put on a suit and your hair is grown, Pachenko said. No way. Really? Dieter Domenia, a lawyer from the Almonte Police Officers Association, has said the officer acted within his training by using a distraction blow on Rodriguez. I tell you what, if this guy's suing for $5 million because a police officer kicked him in the head, I'd do that. I'd take a kick in the head for $5 million. In fact, I think it's pretty much worth it.
Okay, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it. And you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say his name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death 1,000 times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.